You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. Welcome back to The Purple Mystic, everyone. Today I am talking with the King Bitch himself. It is David Wood. Welcome, David.
I sound so great, don't I?
You do. I love it. That is like the greatest song ever written.
King Bitch, I'm on top. Yeah.
Always got something to say. That's.
I do. I always have something to say. I always get my way.
Okay. Well, and some of that just comes from being magical, don't it?
Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes I just have to jump up and down a time or two and scream.
Yeah, temper tantrums always work for me.
I'm more like Julia Sugarbaker.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your journey and your music. Now, you've been a singer your whole life. I've seen pictures of you from the 80s because we're in that same generational line. So
now,
you were You are like, hey, there is no shame. There is no shame. The 80s was a golden period in life.
It was.
But I will say that, you know, you looked as fabulous then as you do now. I mean, I don't think you aged.
Thank you. It's great lighting and makeup.
When we first started talking, I thought you were a whole lot younger than me. Honestly, I thought you were young enough to be my son.
Oh, thank you. No.
So I'm going
50 now. Yes.
Those clothes look so totally 80s. I can relate to that. Wow. And then I was like, oh, hey, he's from the 80s too.
Hey, you know, there's nothing like a comeback either. You never know.
You really have held well. I mean, you look not a day older, honestly, in my opinion. A little more mature, maybe, but you look great. So here's...
But a lot of it is makeup and good lighting for photos and videos and
good
stuff.
Bone structure. Lie. You've got those wonderful high cheekbones and that nice chin.
Oh, go on. Keep going.
Keep going the whole time. But seriously, though, were you in like drama or, you know,
every day choir? Of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Can't you tell? I should have won a Tony like 4 years ago.
Was I in drama, like a drama club or acting or anything?
Right. You know,
no,
like.
No, that is the one thing I always lacked. I was from a very, very small town, so the high school didn't have anything other than a marching band. And I was in that, and, you know. So, there wasn't a drama club or anything like that. You know, there was drama every day of my life just to save my ass and keep from being bullied and beaten to death half the time. But, you know, and I realized it was... not for me. Eventually, I decided I'm getting out of here. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of shirtless hillbilly types pulled up when I was going into the post office to get my mail. And they said, hey, you know what? You look like you ought to be on TV. And I just sort of stopped. And I thought, that's not what I'm used to hearing.
You know, like, really?
And I turned around and I just looked at them and I said, you know what? You're right. And that was when I started making plans to get out of the little town, and I ended up in Columbus, Ohio. I mean, go figure that one, but that's what happened.
You see more of the country than I have at this point,
yeah,
let me tell you.
I've been around, girl, more ways than one, so. Well, you know what? You don't call your king bitch for no reason at all.
So Columbus, Ohio, was it better for you than the small town you grew up in?
Yeah, it's a city. You got a little bit of both here. You got some city and you've got a little bit of country too. So Columbus is the capital of Ohio. And so, you know what? I like it for the most part. I like it.
That's where you are now then? You're still in Columbus?
And my music from back in the day actually helped me get a home. At the time and stuff. And so I've done well back in the day. I wasted a lot of it as well. So, negative habits.
When you're young, you don't really understand planning for the future. You think you do. You know, you're told all the classes, you're told to save, you're told, especially if you make a lot of money at one time when you're real young, you think, oh man, this is great. I can finally do what I want, you know, and then it's just
that was stupid. You know, young enough to develop a big head and then watch yourself fall off that pedestal, you know. So,
The humble life. Well, let me ask you this then. Here's something I did want to talk with you about. Your music is just wonderful. I love your music.
Thank you.
And I find it very inspiring. Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that I had noted was that during the time of the Me Too movement, you had some pretty active things to say about that. And I understand that you probably had some pretty negative experiences in the recording / acting type world, because were you doing acting? Were you just music, or was it both? Or
only acted in my music videos. I always wanted to, but I never made it far enough to really get into that. I could get into that here in Columbus if I wanted to. And it interests me, but it's not such a love as my music. So
Right.
I've just
Well, I
sort of.
think music is the language of the soul. It's, you know, it
Right.
comes from something deep within us.
But the Me Too movement, yes. And that's exactly because, you know what, guys can have a Me Too movement as well, or as well,
Oh,
because
absolutely. And I think
things
that's something
did
that gets
happen in the
swept
music
under the
industry.
rug a whole lot. You know, but I think that the whole culture of the entertainment industry is such that there's that level of we're just going to use you till we don't need what we want from you anymore, and then we're done.
That's exactly right. And the thing that bothered me most about the Me Too movement was like, why is nobody talking about the music industry? It's all
Right.
film and Hollywood. And that's because I think a lot of people are afraid to, because you can be gone in an instant.
Well, and it goes beyond just even any kind of entertainment industry where your face is known. I mean, when I was 18, I met a guy through a friend of mine. He asked me if I would show this friend of his around because he was new to town and didn't have any friends. And I said, sure. And the guy had been a cop in a small town called Kerrville. If you're familiar with James Avery Jewelry, that's where their factory is. But it's a little town outside of San Antonio. And I said, sure, yeah, I'll show him around. Well, this guy ended up raping me.
No.
And I got pregnant.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And so, you know, but you know how he got away with it was, well, he was a cop. He was a cop in Kerrville, and even though he wasn't a cop practicing anymore,
I knew one of
whose
those
word are
as
they going to
well.
take? Yeah. Whose word are they going to take? Because, you know, cops are like a fraternity. They all stand together. And I was like, oh my God. Plus, I already had a child. So he's like, who do you honestly think they're going to believe, you or me? Well, I knew what the answer to that was. So it went completely unreported. It went completely unknown, and it was a source of shame for me personally until a few years ago, right before the Me Too movement, and I realized I have no reason to be ashamed because I wasn't the one that did anything wrong there.
Correct.
You know, yes, I had a child, but that doesn't mean I wanted to be with him. You know, I didn't personally care for the guy a whole lot.
And the thing is, and I've always said this too, don't be ashamed of what other people think, because you know what? If people mind their own business, we're going to start having peace.
Right,
You know,
right.
I've always said that. So don't you dare be ashamed. There is no shame in it. In all honesty, and I will be very, very honest about this, I got myself in my own trouble in the music business, looking at it, meditating, going into counseling, things like that. Yes, I have. And so I did push the envelope, I pushed the buttons, all of them, and I did put myself in that atmosphere for that thing to happen. However, it was not my fault.
Right,
You know
right.
what I'm saying? There's a big long story about it that I won't get deeply into. But yes, it did happen. It did happen.
Well, you
And
know,
I
and
had a
the thing
physically
is
abusive manager as well.
thank
So,
you. And
yes.
it's the emotional and physical abuse. And I think the emotional abuse is the worse than the physical because you can recover from a lot of the physical. That emotional sits in you forever and
It
ever.
does.
There
And
are wrinkles.
that came later, but though that time of being with an abusive manager is when I stopped being a pushover, so to speak. This was back in, woo, 1993, possibly.
Oh, very good.
And all of a sudden, it just was one of those things. And a glass ashtray upside the head does wonders, honey. I can tell you
Oh,
that.
yeah, that'll definitely
And
do
I tell you what, I have never been shy after that. I have always stood up for myself. And a lot of that, you know, my song It's Spooky. That's what it's about, is that era I went through, is because it's spooky. You're every place, and every crowd I'm in, I've always see your face, you know. And it's all about that, if you listen to the words. Lots of bad things happen there, but you know what? I don't dwell in them. It did
No.
happen. I'm aware that it happened, but you know what? I had to be supportive in the Me Too movement because, yes, it was a Me Too. And ladies, as well as gentlemen, have been through this, whether a lot of people want to admit it or not. And I just wanted to be like, hey, I'm here too.
Right. And I think two other populations that go really underrepresented there would be Native American women
Correct.
and children
Yep.
and special needs. The actual studies have shown that the population with the highest rate of sexual abuse is the deaf because they can't tell anybody.
Right.
It's a dark part, but a lot of that comes with those kinds of bad experiences come growth, and you can decide, is it going to make you a bitter person or is it going to make you a better person? And I think you allowed it to make you a better person.
Well,
And
I'm not a
so
victim.
you're a survivor. There's a difference between a
Yeah.
victim mentality and a survivor mentality.
Correct.
And I do believe that, let me ask you, your path, your pagan path, did that factor into your recovery at all?
It did.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hit on because I thought so. Because based on your song, Put the Bottle Down, and the video on that, if you haven't checked it out, guys, check it out. It's a great song, but I love the video. And you see that coming alive from the healing that I think that being a witch brings you. Because one of the things, it's funny, I'm on a collaborative YouTube channel called Witches of the Moon, and our season 13 is about to start on Monday.
Okay.
And one of the things that the first topic that a viewer recommended was 13 things that we like about being a witch. And the number one for me is self-determination. I
Correct.
don't live by someone's dogma. I'm responsible for my own actions. The devil didn't make me do it. My mama didn't make me do it. My husband didn't make me do it. I did that. And if I did that, I need to own it.
I want to hug you, so I'm giving you a virtual hug because you are absolutely correct. Yes, ma'am. And that is being a very mature and experienced witch. And in all honesty, I did not know that about you because there's all different types of people. And I'm not trying to get into a negative, name calling anything, but you're very mature in your craft by saying that, and it shows. So,
Absolutely. I mean, there's a time when you need to act and a time when you just shut your yip and you let it ride,
right.
regardless of the negativity somebody puts at you. And you could think of a million different things to say back at them.
You know what? There's nothing more valuable than your own peace.
And silence. I've learned the
Yeah,
value of
correct.
silence. That's
Keep
something else this past
silent.
month. Sometimes very
Just
deep
very
silence.
silent.
Truthfully, but I am learning more about, the importance of that. Because, when I first got into the craft myself, my cousin was one of the original hosts of Witches of the Moon. And the way I got onto the channel was she asked me if I would sub-host for her. And then it turned out she had a lot of stuff going on and she couldn't produce a lot of the videos one season. And then the next season, she just said, I'm done. And she stepped back. And so the owner of the channel at the time was like, would you step in? You're already doing it. I was like, sure. And, I was kind of like the rule of silence, not being part of an initiatory tradition.
Right.
Being completely solitary and doing a lot of my learning by talking with other witches, but there's limits to what they can tell you because they're in an initiated tradition, reading lots of books. I mean, Dr. Buckland and, all of those traditional people that you first look for,
And there's older works that are out there as well, and nobody, no author ever is going to publish Oathbound material.
No, of course
However,
not.
you can learn a lot by reading, and experiencing.
Doing the
Get it,
practicing.
yes, getting your
Yes.
hands dirty and digging in
Exactly.
the dirt, so
But
to speak.
you don't have that pressing need for the silence. So you say to yourself, well, silence and witchcraft. Well, obviously, if you're an initiatory tradition, you want to just, there are certain things you can't say. And but I'm finding that the more I get into my craft and the more that it becomes well, I feel like it's already part of who I am. I mean, it
It
is.
just is,
It
yes.
is. It's
There's not a day
what I
goes
do.
by that
It's
it's not in your life, even if you think about
exactly.
it or not.
And
It's just
I try not to talk about it, but there's certain aspects of my life that are just inherent. Here it is.
right.
And So that the keeping of the silence, I understand it and I appreciate it better now because I don't have to, wear a pentacle this size when I go out and say, "Look, everybody, I'm a witch. How do you like that?" I have my little shield, Celtic shield, that is so tiny you can't even read it without a magnifying glass. But I know what it is. I know what it's there for. I don't, hide it, but I don't necessarily,
Correct. I totally agree with you 100%. You don't have to go around wearing black all the time, but I do love it.
It's so
I do
slimming.
love it, I have
I
to
don't wear black
admit.
because I'm a witch. I wear it because it's
Yeah,
slimming.
right. Tell me about it, girl.
It's slimming and it makes me
I'm
look younger. What are you talking
transformed,
about?
you know. It's just like I add on a few pounds there, you know. I gotta wear black now.
Although the hats are fabulous.
Yes.
If I could have a hat for every season, I would. I've got two now.
I love that era where men walked around in cloaks and a walking stick, and the ladies
And
had
the
the
top
most
hat and the
beautiful
fancy
hats.
stuff.
Yes, I
And the
love
little
that.
hats with the, yes. We should bring back the Victorian period for
We
clothing.
should. I've always thought that. So keep watching.
Yeah. Steampunk is working its way through the fabric.
You're reading my mind, lady. Don't give away all my secrets now.
That's right.
Because there's a
Silence,
lot
right?
coming up. There's a lot coming up.
We're talking about silence. Shut
Yeah.
it.
To know, to dare, to will, and to shut
Exactly. Now, one of the things that you mention in your song is I am spawn of silver. Want to talk about that? Because that's a fun topic to bring up anytime you want to get people arguing amongst themselves in the craft. You just talk about that silver broomstick and oh my Lord of mercy,
I'm too
all the
sick of
fluffy
stuff like
bunny
that.
accusations come about. And I
Yeah, nobody really knows her either, so
thank you, but
it doesn't matter how serious of an author you are, you're not gonna give away oath-bound material. So do you think she is? She wrote a book for people who are trying to learn, not
exactly.
already experienced. I mean, my goodness.
And for an age group that's difficult to write for, because she was going for that coming of age group that I think a lot of people kind of poo-poo. Oh, as for kids, but they're not really kids. They're becoming adults, and
Correct.
they need that kind of direction. And a lot of kids at that age, especially coming from a strict, religious household like I was raised in, you weren't allowed to explore religions in
Yeah,
my
there
mother's
there are some adults that aren't,
Yeah, exactly.
but
Well,
I digress.
my mom, she would not let us explore. We were not allowed to go to church with our friends unless they were in the Church of Christ like we were. And it happened to be the same type of Church of Christ we were in. So, that kind of oppression in terms of, I understand now my mom was doing what she thought was best. But I also understand now that that was not the best way to raise us because it didn't allow us to come to that on our own. And so eventually you're just like, you know what? I'm done here. And I think that it probably had more of an opposite effect. So how did you get involved with Silver Ravenwolf? It's
That's a
my
story.
understanding that you don't just become part of her tradition, that she and her husband select the people that are going to be in their traditions.
Correct. I
See, I've done
met
my
her
research.
in the 90s as well, when I was first, settling in with a manager and starting to tour and all that. Silver had came to a store in Columbus, Ohio, and I took her a CD. And I just like, hey, this is what I do. I'd like you to sign my book. And I, got a reading from her and things like that. And that was that. Then she came back a second time and I brought her another CD I was working on and said, hey, here's you another one. She's like, I remember you. How can I not remember you? And I say, I don't know if you remember me or not, but here's another CD. She said, of course I remember you. So me and the store owner were good friends. And everybody involved therein. And I was really young and doing the club circuits and all the crazy stuff that comes with that.
Right.
But they invited me to dinner. I think we went to a Pizza Hut after she was done at the store, you know, and she said, "Would you like to come?" I was like, "Sure." So there was a lady that was with me. She ended up being a high priestess in Black Forest as well, one of my friends. And she we're sitting there at dinner, and I'm just sort of staying quiet because this lady was sort of fawning over her. And
Well,
I'm sort of
had you
like, "Well,
not
I know
known,
what this is like, so I'm just going to sit here and just sort of be quiet." You know what I'm saying?
did you not know that she was a high priestess in the tradition at the time, or
Well, no, neither one of us were at the time. So this
oh,
just
okay.
you know, we went and met her, meet and greet type thing, and
Gotcha.
she
Okay, I
came back,
misunderstood. I
sure.
thought she was already a high
No,
priestess in
ma'am.
that. Gotcha. Okay.
And but she wanted to be so very bad, and you know, I like Silver as well. I liked her books. I thought, well, this is refreshing for people, you know. And even she talks about some older stuff that she puts a different spin on, which I thought this is neat.
Right. Things have to change and evolve.
You know, Lady Luna, she was sitting there and she was looking at Silver. "I want to do this. I want to be dedicated in a Black Forest so bad. I want this and want that." And Silver's like, "Well, you know what? Drive up at this certain time and this certain place, and we'll see how it goes." You know, because you know, if you want to be a part of something, you have to ask. You can't
Right.
just, you know, and you have to fit, you know. And so anyway, things got really quiet at the table, and I was sitting there looking
You're
at my
like,
pizza, you know, and
awkward.
just listening to the conversation, and I'm picking up my pizza, you know. And I look up, and Silver Ravenwolf is just dead staring me right in the eye.
Oh.
And I said, "Did I do
Oh.
something?" She said, "No, what about you?"
Oh.
And I said, "Well, I've thought about that too. I just didn't want to bother you about it because, you know, you were talking to Luna. And you know, it didn't involve me, so I just wanted to give you your own space. And I'm in the entertainment industry, I know what it's like too, so I just didn't want to be overly, you know." And she said, "Won't you both come?" I said, "Okay." So I ended up that year, 1997, was dedicated into Black Forest Clan, and now I am an elder clan head and have covens underneath me. So it's weird how things happen because I wasn't asking for that.
Right, exactly. Well,
You know.
good leaders usually aren't.
Well, I
Good
try.
leaders are found and they're formed and they're guided and then they're sent off on their merry way. I'm sorry, this little fella here.
You got a debuchi.
I do have a
Oh,
Poochie. This is
Pinto
Pinto Bean. He has razor sharp
Bean.
claws that he keeps clawing at my bare legs with. You know, shorts in Texas. Yeah, so. And then
Right.
he's trying to wrestle with the other dog. So, for the audience, I have my miniature dachshund here who wants to wrestle with the mini pit. So we may hear some rah rah in the background, and that's just how it's going to be because this is my life. So that was 97, and you now have covens of your own, as you've mentioned.
I think I have five right now, and my clan is called Black Forest Clan of the Black Leopard. So here in Columbus, Ohio, I also teach long distance, you know, internet training in Black Forest and things like that, but I won't go too much into that. It's just, it is
Right.
what it is. And, you know, there's different ways of doing different things. And we have a lineage line, and I'm proud to be a lineage witch. I don't think I'm better than any
Right.
other witch that is book learned or what have you, or any other tradition. But, you know, you tend to be biased and you tend to be proud. So,
And there's nothing wrong with being proud. I mean,
right.
absolutely.
I work
So
hard. I sweat blood. I bled tears, all that. And you also have students
that's
that
the thing.
leave you and tear your heart out. So.
And as a solitary, I'll tell you, it's difficult because part of you longs for that community and that joining of the communal energy, to celebrate it for nothing else, if not to, you know, to do a working for just the knowing of community. You know, and I don't know if that's everybody's experience, but I'm very much a community person. I always have been. Ever since I was a kid, it's been very important to me to fit in, and I never have, which has been the crazy thing. Now, I think for a while on my Facebook profile, I even had that picture of Cornelius, a Yukon Cornelius. It says even among misfits, you're a misfit. I was like, yeah, that would explain me beautifully. And so that's part of the reason why I have kind of kept away from some of the traditions is because you, like you said, you got to gel well with the group. And I've never found a group that I gel well with. Everyone. So, but it is difficult because there are times when I really feel like you need the community learning.
I think there's definitely a lot of lessons in the community, and a lot of it's probably for you. You know what I mean? As far as what not to be as well. And forgive me, I'm going there and I'm sounding very biased again.
No, but that's
But
quite all right.
a lot of people say, I can't be a part of a coven. I can't be a part of this. I can't be a part of that. Well, all covens are not there out there are not lineaged. They don't come from a downline, such as from Gardner to blah 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 to Silver, or what have you. And people don't take much stock into Black Forest and our lineage either. And it's okay, 'cause I'm happy. I don't care what you are. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a thing in the community where I do feel I am a little old school, and a lot of people will hate me for it, and that's okay too. But I feel like the power has to be passed from a downline, and that's the way most traditionals are.
Well, and there is something to be said for initiation in terms
From a
of your.
downline.
Well, I'm thinking just in terms of the spiritual transformative powers within an initiation, when you are willing to put yourself out there with people who may or may not be complete strangers or close to complete strangers at that point in time, when you're willing to say, this is so important to me that I'm going to be a part of this. And I think it's kind of that, I get that from my dad, because my dad is a Mason. Very high up in the Masons. My father was a high priestess in the Eastern Stars.
My
And
grandfather was as well, so.
yeah, like it or not, there's a lot of cross lines in the symbolism, in the language, in the greetings, like blessed be, which is something I understand the Masons say to one another. So there's a lot of mixing there. And I'm sure some of that comes in from like the Crowley era, which I understand, you had a lot of groups cropping up around that time, like the Odd Fellows and the Skull and Bones and, all of these like secret organizations and things like that, which really have a lot of similarities to modern practices of witchcraft. And I think that part of it is just that there comes a point where you need that community in order to continue to grow. There's only so far you can grow. And I'm not disparaging anyone that chooses to stay in a single line as a solitary, because even if I was to initiate with a group, I live in the middle of BFE, Texas. There's not much around here. It's growing because I'm not too far out of the Metroplex, but Dallas is an hour away. Now, for us, that's nothing. You hop in the car, you hit the toll road, you're, whatever. But to get together on a regular basis with people, it's difficult. I have a friend who's a practicing witch that lives in Garland. I've seen her once in the last year. And I have a, Patsy Crutcher who lives in Waxahachie. I mean, she lives a little bit south Waxahachie, Corsicana. And that's maybe.
She sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think Patsy's on your friends list.
Is she?
Patsy
Okay.
Cabot Crutcher. Yeah, she's a Cabot witch, but she lives out here in Texas. She's been through Witchcraft 1 and 2 with the
Lord
Cabot
Cabot.
tradition. And she and I would love to get together more. Of course, now the whole COVID thing kind of put a damper on our
Oh,
areas
it's
because
amazing. Yeah.
we were going to go to the Scarborough Fair, which is the Wren Festival we have down here in Waxahachie, which would have been probably equidistant for both of us. And that got shut down. And, but, and then Alexander Cabot and Lady Rhea were supposed to be here in
Wonderful
Arlington.
people. They are
Yeah, we were
wonderful
going to go
people.
see them and meet them. And I was so excited about that. And then that got shelved because of COVID.
I got to do
So.
Lady Rhea's cover for her Enchanted Formulary book that just came out.
Yeah, I have
So
that.
yeah,
You did that cover?
I did that cover, the black book with the picture of both of them
Fantastic.
on it.
Yes, that is a fantastic picture. So you're a photographer
I
too.
didn't. I did not take the picture. I just did
Yeah.
the layout and the artwork. So
But
that's another
still,
wonderful artist who took those pictures. So I
it's
can't take credit for that.
fantastic.
Yeah. But
That's
I was glad to
fantastic.
be a part of it. I love them to death. I talk to them every now and again. So.
Yeah, that well, they, you know, I mean, it's just there's a lot of distance. So finding a group that you can, a coven, a true coven, I guess would be the best way to put it. One of the groups I had looked at was the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids.
Oh.
And I do find a lot of draw to that group. So, how do you feel about one of the things that I hear a lot of people say is, well, once you're initiated in a group, you shouldn't look at other traditions or learn anything from other traditions. You should just be part of that. And then I've seen other traditions that say, we don't care if you are involved in other traditions. What is your take on that?
My take is you can't serve too many masters. I mean, because one tradition, you're a true tradition, you're going to have to research. It takes a long time to attain your degrees, and it takes continuous study. Now, within Black Forest, you can go join other groups if you like to. You're not held prisoner. I mean, you're as free as, the morning sun,
Right.
But we do, as long as you're doing the work and you're learning and it's showing, because we can tell who's doing the work and who isn't,
Oh, yeah, I
even
think
the
it shows.
spiritual work.
I
So,
think it shows in your practice.
correct. And but I don't know. I tend to think personally, this isn't a personal opinion, this isn't a stuck up traditional thing.
That's what we're here
It,
for.
it, it's personal in that you can't serve two masters. I don't, oh, it's hard to say. Just basically that. I feel like you can't serve two masters. And once you find home, why would you want to be anywhere else? Unless you're trying to get a degree collection. And
Right.
you don't need all that. I mean,
Exactly.
when you're home, you're home.
So, with that being said, let's take this moment to give a little honor to Hecate.
Ooh.
Sound like a deal?
Yeah.
Okay, another fantastic song by David Wood.
Thank you so much.
That's a great song, I'll tell you.
That was my first big hit.
I'll tell you what, I work with the Morrigan, but that song to me, there are a lot of similarities between Hecate and the Morrigan. If you take out the Irish-Greek thing and you look at the two deities, to me they seem two expressions of the same.
You and I could be brother and sister.
That's okay.
Yes,
I'll take
that's
that.
Okay too. Yes,
I will be happy with that.
Yes, the Morrigan is my patron goddess as well. So
very good. So, that being the case, what made you choose Hecate as the subject for the song and not the Morrigan? Because you could be singing to either one.
I was green when I was learning about Hecate. I'd been reading and studying for a while, but I wasn't part of a tradition. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until later that I learned that Hecate does not fit into your basic maiden, mother, and crone aspect. It's more land, sea, and sky. She has three faces, and that's what they pertain to. She was very much a maiden. Most people think she's an old woman. And it's not true. She was always known as a maiden goddess, a bright, shining one, a Luciferian goddess. But I learned more about her, and she's still there. She's still a part of me at one aspect of my life. And the Morrigan came to me. a lot of times,
isn't that a frightening experience?
Yes, it is. You don't choose them, they choose you. Mm-hmm. And that was around the same time as the ashtray. So,
well, I'll tell you what, she has always been present in my life, and I didn't realize it. It took like having pieces of a puzzle that didn't make sense, and then all of a sudden they start to click together, and you go, oh, because there were little things in my childhood, like my fascination with the whole mythos of Scotland and Ireland, mostly because my family is Irish and Scottish, and we're kind of a mix, but we have a lot of Irish and Scottish lines. And so I always had a fascination with the Irish myths and mythos. And from there, I was working in the library because it was better than getting bullied on the way home. I could work in the library with the pleasant Mrs. Wallace, who let me check out whatever books I wanted. And I had first pick at the books that were getting checked back in. And then I didn't have to walk home and get, into a fight and get into trouble on the way home. So, there was a book called The Hounds of the Morrigan by Pat O'Shea. And it's like super thick. It's over 1,000 pages. And I think I devoured that book within a day. The funny thing is in that book, Morrigan is the bad guy. But I was fascinated by her and this triple aspect of herself. You know, the three sisters is one being. And it fascinated me. And the book is really well written, but she is the bad guy. And then my sister.
You know what? That whole bad guy thing, it's based on perception, just like everything is based on perception.
That's what I said. I'm like, but the blood on the stone is her blood. If she wants her power back, why can't she have it back? What's the problem with that? You know, that's what I kept saying through the whole book, you know, and she just fascinated me. And then my sister pointed out recently a story I had totally forgotten about. She goes, well, don't you remember when we were sitting in grandmother's backyard and that big black bird came and dropped that little shiny thing at your feet? And sat there with you for a minute and then flew off. And I was upset because I didn't get a gift from the bird. And I was like, no. She goes, I think it was like a button or a bottle cap or something, but you kept it forever. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Hey.
So, and then the final piece of the puzzle when it was really like, duh, was I was doing a lot of reading about her. And I work at a day hab. I have a contract with a day hab. Facility. And I come out from the day hab and my entire car, nobody else's car, my entire car is covered in blackbirds, ravens, crows, and grackles. And the guy that worked at the day hab looks at me and he goes, they really like you, don't they? I was like, there's your sign. I think that's a sign. Wow. That took a big smack on the forehead, didn't it? Because right. I mean, they were all over my vehicle and none of the others. They were on it, under it, all over it, like a cloak. And I was like, okay, yeah, that might be a sign that, you know, yeah.
You'd think?
Duh, right? It's like,
of course, you hear them talking to you and calling all the time.
All the time. And here's the other thing. We have a mated pair that's taken up a residence behind our house. Nice. We've never had them out here before. And then they had babies. And one day I walked out in my backyard and I found a feather laying in my backyard. And I was like, oh, thank you.
And of course, you know, the intelligence that crows and ravens have is amazing. Very
they
much
will
amazing.
Recognize you by your gait. If you put on a mask, they will recognize you and they will still expect you to feed them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Very smart. And they can hold a grudge for years.
After hopefully soon this COVID situation is over with, where you're going to have to fly up or I'll fly down or
hey, yes, please.
Yes, we need more talk time.
Yes.
And a bottle of wine, of course.
Yeah, maybe two or three.
Every once in a while is not a problem.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I would love that. Either way, it's hard for me to get out just because of my business. But, you know, if I could manage that, I would definitely be up there. I have a friend that just moved to Ohio. I'm not sure where. My best friend, actually. We've been best friends since fifth grade. My best girlfriend. I mean, obviously, my husband is the best friend. But, you know, we've been friends since fifth grade. And she just moved to Ohio. And I was like, you know. How dare you? You betray me like this, you know. So, yeah, bless her heart. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about that's been brought up to me by people who are not practicing is when you get into a tradition, at what point or what makes it different than a cult? And I was trying to go, okay, let me explain the difference for you. Number one, you're not trapped. They don't keep you there forever. If you decide you want to part ways, you can go. And there's no harm, no foul, usually. You know, if you want to learn other traditions, in most cases, that's not a problem because there's nothing wrong with learning. You don't have to actively participate, but you can certainly take the learning and meld it with your practice. And that, to me, is the big key difference is you're not living strictly by one other person's dogma where they're telling you you are going to believe this. Yet, it does smack to me a little bit of the dogmatic type of tradition that I work so hard to get away from in terms of the Church of Christ, you know, where, you know, you are being taught what to believe.
Okay.
And so that's a little nagging thing in the back of my head that keeps me solitary and keeps me away from any of the traditions, is just that kind of, well, then you're living by somebody else's rule of three, which I don't
I
necessarily
do not
align.
believe in the rule of three. No, that's
Okay.
not my thing. No.
Thank God. Yes, we're definitely related soul-wise, I think. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. See, and that's my thing. And to me, that's not.
Do you know what? There are some Black Forest witches who do.
That's
That's fine.
racism.
I have to say, and you're talking about tradition and stuff like that. Within my tradition, once again, I'm biased. It is the best tradition that I've seen. We do have the freedom to make our own decisions, to experience, to do these things. We are given research and lessons to do, and there's a reason. Me as a clan head and once upon a time a facilitator or high priest, I never made anyone do anything that I didn't have to do.
Right.
So there's a
So you
little
drank the
freedom within
Kool-Aid.
our. I Girl, can I have another cup?
These are
Put the
Parkland
bottle down,
boys.
David. Put the bottle down.
Exactly. I was gonna say, woo. Yeah. No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think that's one of the things that draws me to the OBOD myself, is that it aligns with my Celtic beliefs and the things that are deep in my heart in terms of, they have their bardic tradition, which goes into the storytelling, and I loved storytelling. I absolutely love. When I was younger, before I was married, I would go to some of the storytelling festivals. I've always been a big drama fan. Like drama is in the action of not being involved in somebody's personal, because I absolutely hate
Well,
that. But
anybody's path is their path.
that's
It's nobody else's, it's their own.
exactly.
And I have never understand the hate or the animosity that people spew all
No.
over the place about one group or the other. It disturbs me.
And it bothers me to see the kind of the infighting that goes on within some of the groups, because I'm like, you all are supposed to be like family, a
Well,
cohesive
I
group.
have always said when they come after one group, don't you think you're free? They're coming against all of us.
Oh
Just
yeah,
like they have
absolutely.
before.
Exactly. Thank you.
And the thing is, for the record, because everybody has seen me spew what seems like animosity on Facebook, there is
No, I
always a
wouldn't call it
reason.
animosity.
There is
I'd call
always
it
a reason.
frustration.
Frustration and people who are doing the same to me, so I will give it right back. It's a lot of people don't understand what makes me tick and why I do the things I do, but when something like that happens, there it's only for good reason.
Absolutely. I don't think that I have ever heard you spew hatred. I've seen you put some people in their place. The only time I've seen you say anything really ugly is when that guy was sending me those horrible messages.
Oh, well, you know what? Don't do that to people I like. It's not,
Don't even know who that guy was. I don't know where that came from.
I mean, I had one
For the
drag me through
audience,
the mud before too, so it's all right. But if I can, you know what, you probably didn't ask for it, but if I can help one person just by being a bitch that I am,
No, I
I'll
was
just go ahead.
grateful for it because the guy was calling my business, the Purple Broom, and he was texting my business line number. And it just, I don't know where this guy came from. And yeah, for the audience's purpose, I had a guy that was sending me some really nasty messages for not responding to him. And then he sent me some really nasty pictures that I really definitely didn't want. And it was, David was kind enough to step up and tell this gentleman to. Not a gentleman. David was the gentleman that stepped up and told this guy to go stick it where the sun didn't shine. And I'm very grateful for that. I was like, man, I don't even know where this guy's vitriol.
I use my bitch powers for good.
Yes, you did. It was fabulous to watch.
I'm not a Karen. I am not a Karen. So just so you know, just listen to the song. You'll get it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, speaking of, we've got some new music coming out, don't we? Let's
I'm playing around with it. Okay. I am working from home at my real job. Most of us pagans, authors and all, do have a real job as well. And so I've been working at home for the past 4 months, which has been crazy. Yes.
Nice. And it's a double-edged sword.
It's double-edged sword, yes.
Yeah, clearly, and, for the audience, you can hear the dogs in one end and my husband madly vacuuming out the other end. Thank you so much.
King Bitch, the song, has become the second biggest hit I've ever had, and it has overtook, I don't know, however you say it. It has surpassed Hecate, which has never happened. And
I would love to hear it on mainstream. I wish that we could get like a regular radio station in a big city to play it, because I got a feeling it would just skyrocket. Talk about crossover. You know, I think pagan music would have a whole new audience at that point, because it's a great song.
Thank you. I don't know. It just, one day I sat and thought about everything that made me angry, whether it was craft or whatever. It involves different things. The first line in the entire song is, this witch don't do pagan standard time, but I'll make time if you're worth it. Right. You know, so there's that part. And then there's parts about the record industry and people who think they're big and they're not, trying to say, oh, I can help you. It's like, sure you can, honey.
Yeah, sure you can. For a price, right?
For a price.
It always comes at a price.
But yeah, that's there's stuff coming up. There's stuff I'm working on. It's not going to be another Attitudes song.
Oh, like, but we love your attitude.
I know, but you know, you just can't have two of the same thing. I've done it. You know,
you've done it. And you know what? You did it beautifully. And I'll tell you, the rest of your music is really great. I think Put the Bottle Down would be a great song for mainstream also. I like Madea. I think that's a good song. I will be quoting the beginning of that song with the windows down, looking at the people at the stoplights, and they're just like, okay,
Lady Breedwin. She was my second or third degree from my downline. So yes, she is the one that I got to do that, because she is a hypnotist. She does lots of hypnotherapy work, and I made her own CD for her. I've done the background meditation music for that, and it's called A Witch's Journey, and you can find that on my website with my stuff as well.
That's
so
great. And why don't you share that website with us, David?
Ooh, that website, girl.
I'll like make that. Sure to put it in the description too. Thank so if anybody you. Can't write fast enough, they could just click the link.
It is davidwoodmusic.com. It's that awesome. Simple.
And yeah, because there's another David Wood that's a Christian, so don't get confused on your woods there. Know your wood.
Don't have a silent competition as far as ratings on the websites and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, know your wood. You know the right wood. David Wood.
Hey, baby, you know, you can get your wood right here. Grab it.
Yes, please.
No, but you can find my music. You can find it anywhere. Spotify, anywhere you download or stream music, you can find it. YouTube.
Because you're on iTunes also, correct? iTunes, Spotify.
Pandora.
Pandora, Bandcamp.
I don't know about Bandcamp.
Okay.
But, you know, CD Baby, which they don't sell. Okay. They no longer have a store anymore, which is why.
Oh, they don't.
No, which is why beefed up my website. And
I didn't realize that. Okay. That's good to know, because Dave the Bard puts a lot of his on CD Baby too. So that's good to know. Right.
Mm. So, but there's great things came out of that, though. It allowed me to find different, you know, things to work with and different tools and stuff. Awesome. So, and I do everything myself. anybody who thinks I've got industry help or anything like that, it's not. I set up cameras for my music videos, two or three different positions. I edit film, I add the special effects, I do everything.
Hey, that's even more impressive in my book. I think somebody that does their own work like that is got my complete admiration, because I'm no artiste in any way. I can't draw a stick person that looks like a person. No, I'm an okay writer. I'm new to the whole editing thing. So that's kind of, I've gotten pretty swank with the videos, but that's thank you, Movie Maker. And when Movie Maker wasn't on the new Windows 10, I lost it. I actually found somebody who taught you how to download it from the Microsoft Archive, because I couldn't live without it, and all the other programs
that's involved,
I just couldn't.
The software that's involved with what I do, and the instruments, and the recording stuff. It's expensive.
Very expensive. And when you've got someone else that's running the finances in the household, they get to decide what's a priority and what's not.
But one of the things that's it's still inexpensive than going to a major studio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've been a recording engineering school. I'm a second engineer and all that. So,
I will tell you, there's a gentleman down the road from us here that we were going to rent an office from, and he actually has a full film studio in the back of the property. And when you rent, he allows you full access to it.
Nice.
It's got recording equipment, everything. Yeah, I was like, I'm still thinking maybe we need to go get an office.
Let's turn this on right, girl.
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, I was impressed with it. I was like, wow, this is really cool. Uh-huh. Well, David, one more thing I want to ask you about, and then I may have to have you back on another time, because I could talk quite a bit with you, but we've already hit our hour here. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is, now I forgot. Wow, it's been that kind of a week, folks.
It has been that kind of a week. It's not just you.
it's 4th of July, but I swear I haven't had any alcohol today. I don't know what's going on with my brain.
Mercury retrograde. What, we just blame it on that. It's the
perfect works for me. That works. Well, if I think of it, I'll ask you about it. Maybe we'll be able to fit it back into another conversation. But I want to thank you so very much for coming on here and being so generous with your music and for allowing us to put that in here. I hope that this gets you a new audience or some more people that maybe hadn't heard your music before listening in. And I would love to have you back on at some point in time.
Thank you so much for having me on. I enjoy all kinds of different shows and just talking with people and meeting people, and as I always say, don't be bitching when you should be witching.
That's right. And with that, we will take it from there.
You can still shine when you're drinking water instead of wine. You can shine when you feel you're the only one that has the time. When the colors that you see in front of your face push you across the line, you can shine. Tallest mountain in the sky, to the sun that forever continues to shine. I will take you beneath my wings. Together we will fly and shine. Shine on. You can shine. Instead of wine. won't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming.